Well, I believe the Lord has given me a word for us as a church, and I have been talking for a number of weeks now about the spiritual warfare that we're in. And it was my intention to move on from this accidental series that has progressed week after week after week. But I really believe that the Lord gave me a word and directed me back to this subject. And so I just want us to pray once more as we prepare our hearts for the word. Father, I ask that you would help us, Lord, this morning to hear with spiritual ears, to see truth with spiritual eyes, Lord, to understand with a spiritual mind, the Lord, things that the carnal mind cannot understand. And Father, I just pray in Jesus' name that you would guide us into truth this morning. And Lord, that by your word, we would be changed. And Father, I just thank you for the fruit of it, Lord, what you're going to do in and through us in the name of Jesus. Amen. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8 tells us that for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And we know that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. We know that God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. There are a lot of verses that tell us in one way or another why Jesus came. But this verse, it puts it another way. That Jesus was manifested, the Son of God was revealed to destroy the works of the devil. And you see, that's what Jesus did when he came to seek and to save that which was lost. He destroyed the work of the devil. When he died and paid the price for our sin, he destroyed the work of the devil. He came to give us life. The Bible says abundant life. And I want to tell you, for Jesus to give us abundant life, he had to undo some things that the devil had done. He had to destroy the work of the devil. John 5 and 17 tells us that Jesus said, "My Father has been working until now, and I have been working." And you see, as Jesus destroys the works of the devil, what destroys the works of the devil? The works of Jesus. The works of Jesus is how the works of the devil are destroyed. In John 17 and 4, Jesus tells the Father, "I have finished the work you gave me to do." And then in Hebrews 10, 12, it tells us that he is set down at the right hand of God. So Jesus, while he walked this earth as the Son of God, he destroyed the works of the devil. And then in John 17, he tells the Father, "I have finished those works." And when he ascended to heaven, he sat down at the right hand of God. Jesus, as the Son of God, manifests in the flesh in this earth, he's done. He finished his work and is set down at the right hand of God. But I want you to understand that he is not through working through his body. You see, the devil is still destroying lives. And Jesus is still working, destroying the works of the devil through his body. Hebrews 10, 12 and 13, it puts it this way. "This man, Jesus, after he offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. From that time, waiting till his enemies are made his footstool." He's waiting for his enemies to be made his footstool. And how is that happening? It is happening through his body, through his church. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23 tells us that the church is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And you know, this is not just some weird mystical thing, figuratively speaking. No, it is a spiritual truth that the church really is the body of Christ, that Jesus Christ is the head of the body, and we are all members of that body. So the church of the Lord Jesus Christ in the earth today, we really are the spiritual body of Jesus, and Jesus is still working and moving through his church, destroying the works of the devil. John 14 and 12, Jesus said, "I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father." And you know, it's a sad thing in our society today that most believers think that only a few verses, a few chapters of the Bible actually apply to us. The rest of it is just good for stories to tell. But it doesn't really apply to us. But I want you to notice that in this verse of Scripture, Jesus did not say, for those of you that believe in me in the first century. No, he said, those that believe in me. Listen, that includes you and me. Do we have any people that believe in Jesus in here? Listen, he said, if you believe in him, he said, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these, because I'm going to my Father. And you know, I realize there's a lot of doubting, skeptical, cynical people who don't have any faith to believe God for anything. But I'm telling you, if we believe, the promise of Jesus is, the works that I do, he said, if you believe in me, the works that I do shall you do also. And that's not just written for a certain couple of people. He said, all right, James and John and Peter, just for you three guys. Oh, wait a minute. I got one other guy that's coming later, Paul. We'll add him. And Paul, now for you four, you can do the works that I do. That's not what he said. It wasn't just for a certain time. It wasn't just for a certain four people or five or six. Or listen, it was for those who believe is what he said. Amen. And I tell you, it is amazing to me how we can take John 3:16 and say, whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. But then we go to John 14 and 12 and where he says, tells us very plain that if we believe in him, we'll do the works that he did. See, we've been duly commissioned to destroy the works of the devil. Amen. He said we would do the works that he did. What did he do? He destroyed the works of the devil. You know, we've been talking about this spiritual warfare for several weeks now, and we know this. We have an enemy, an adversary. We need to know our enemy. We need to know who he is, and we need to know who he is not. And that's really strange to talk about a spiritual enemy, to talk about the devil in a world where there are even many Christian people that don't believe in the devil. They think that he is just some kind of imaginary figure that represents evil. They don't even believe in a hell. It's amazing to me how many people profess to be Christians and yet don't even believe any of the Bible. But if we don't believe the Bible, we don't have anything. I tell you, either God's word is true or we don't have anything to hold on to. But I do believe the Bible. I do believe every word from God. I believe what the Scripture declares itself to be, that it is alive and powerful. And I tell you, the Bible teaches from the book of Genesis in chapter 3 all the way to the last chapter of the book, of the whole Bible, the last chapter of Revelation, that there is a devil. And he is our adversary. And he is the enemy of God. And so we need to realize that we really do have an enemy, and we need to know who he is. We need to know who he's not. You see, football teams spend many hours watching video of their opponents. Why? Because they want to understand how their opponents work. They want to prepare. They say, well, we've been preparing. They don't just mean they've been out running sprints and catching the ball and blocking. They also mean that they've been watching film of their opponent. When they're preparing for an opponent, they watch that video so that they can understand how that offense is going to attack, so that they'll be prepared to defend it. Amen. They watch film so they can see what will be effective against their enemy. They got to know their enemy. And I'm telling you, in the body of Christ, ignorance is not bliss. The Bible says, God himself says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. We need to know who our enemy is. Now, hear me very plainly. We don't need to focus on the devil. We need to focus on Jesus. And that's what's most important, is that we know the Lord, and we're walking with the Lord, and we're walking in the Spirit of truth. But we do need to be aware of the spiritual war that we're in, and we need to know who our enemy is. So I want to remind you one more time that Ephesians 6:12 says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. So our enemy is not flesh and blood. Ultimately, our enemy is not man. It's not a person. It is the power of darkness that's arrayed against us. That is the war that we are fighting, and that's who our enemy is. You know, but now, on the flip side of that, how amazing is it that most Christians spend way more time fighting with other Christians than they do fighting against the forces of darkness, against their true enemy? You talk about being duped by the devil. Being deceived. When Christians fight against Christians, there is not anything more stupid than that. Lord, help us not to be so stupid that we fight against one another. That's not our enemy. Our enemy is Satan himself and his forces. And we need to remember that always. We need to remember who our true enemy is and who isn't. Most Christians waste way too much effort fighting, arguing with other Christians. Now, Satan uses people. And as people allow their sinful nature to get the best of them and they do things that are wrong, you know, even those things, in a sense, we need to realize that that is the work of the devil, that Satan is the one that's ultimately behind it. But I want to tell you some things about the devil, who he is and who he's not. First of all, he is no match for God. Amen. You need to know this. There is not this cosmic struggle, tug of war between good and evil, and maybe somehow God will get the upper hand and eventually win in this cosmic struggle. No, God is God Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, creator of everything. And I want to tell you something. That includes the devil. Satan himself is a created being. He was created to be a worshiping angel, and he exalted himself and pride, and so he was exiled from the kingdom of heaven. Now, I'm giving you the short version because we'd be here all day if I give you the long version, all right? But Satan himself is a created being, and he has no power except what God allows him to have. God is God Almighty and has all power and all authority. You know, a lot of people get confused about this, that Satan is, they think Satan's everywhere. Now, listen, he's everywhere in the sense that the spirits of darkness are everywhere. That certainly there are demonic influences and spirits that we deal with everywhere we go. I'm telling you, you may have some spirits that are assigned to you to harass you and oppress you. But Satan himself is not omnipresent. He can only be at one place at one time. He's not God. He can only be at one place at one time. And he's not omniscient. He doesn't know everything. And he knows a lot. He's been around a long time. And apart from the wisdom of God and the leadership of the Holy Spirit and the power of God, we would be no match for him. He knows a lot. But he's not omniscient. And he can't read your mind until you open your big mouth. But most of the time, it's not a problem. He knows exactly what we're thinking. And it's one of the awesome things about praying in the Spirit. Makes the devil mad because he has no idea what you're praying. He just knows you're praying in the will of God. The Holy Spirit is praying through you, and he doesn't like that. You know, it's the military uses secret code, or they use secret channels. They, you know, all different kinds of ways to keep the enemy from knowing what they're doing. Well, you know what? We pray in the Spirit, the enemy doesn't know what's going on. But for most believers, I tell you, they got stuff coming out of their mouth. He knows exactly what they're thinking and how effective he's being. And you know, the devil gets a pretty good idea just by situation and circumstance. He can certainly influence our thinking, and he can probably get a pretty good idea about what's going on inside, what we're thinking, by our actions, our attitude, and like I said, especially by what comes out of our mouth. But he cannot read your mind. He is not omniscient. And you need to know that. We also need to remember that we have power over him. Now listen, I already told you that he only has a limited amount of power. He only has whatever power God has allowed him to have. But Jesus said very plainly in Luke 10:19, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. He said, over all the power of the enemy. Amen. Over all the power of the enemy. So we don't have to be afraid of our enemy, but we shouldn't be foolish and ignorant. We need to be aware of his devices, and we need to be ready to stand. The Bible says for us to be alert, to be vigilant, to be prepared, because our adversary, the devil, goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Now, you know, we talked about this a few weeks ago, but we need to be aware of the devil's devices. And I just want to give you a real brief rundown, a review of that, of the devil's devices. First of all, he uses deception. And again, you see this beginning in the book of Genesis. From the very first sin, from the very first fall of man, there was deception. Eve was deceived. And it has been ever since that Satan works through deception to get an advantage of people, to get people to do what he wants, to get people to disobey God, to get people in bondage and oppression. He uses deception. Listen, he used deception to tempt Eve to sin. He used it to try to get Jesus to sin. And he still today uses deception all the time. You know, the devil can make temptation look really good. Way better than it actually is. In fact, many times what he does is he tries to take away the consequence. He deceives and makes people think that there won't be a consequence for their sin or their disobedience. Or he tries to deceive and make them think that in relation with to the benefit, oh, well, it's worth the consequence, the price that I'm going to have to pay. It's a deception from the devil. And he's a master of deception. Jesus said that he is the father of lies. Now, by the way, you want to just catch a little glimpse here. Here's a work of the devil. Lies. Where does it come? He's the father of lies. He's the one from where they all originated. He's the father of lies. So whenever lies are coming out of your mouth, you're being a tool of the devil. You're being a pawn of Satan. The Bible says, lie not one to another. I tell you, we need to realize that when people start lying, the devil's moving and working. Oh, it's just a little thing. That's what society says. You see, there it is again. Oh, it's not that big a deal. He's the father of lies. He uses lies all the time. He is a master at twisting the truth. He can take the truth and just put a little spin on it and get people into error that will destroy them. He uses temptation. And then he turns right around and he uses accusation and condemnation. It's amazing that the same devil who will tempt you and set you up to fall into sin, then the moment that you do, he is standing by to point the finger at you and accuse you and condemn you. Well, you sorry dog, who are you to call yourself a Christian? Those are his devices. He tempts, he accuses, he condemns. In fact, in Revelation, it tells us that Satan is the accuser of the brethren. He uses manipulation, intimidation. He uses fear to influence and control people. Now I want to tell you something. We are to fear the Lord. That means that we are to reverence him and have an awe of him as our heavenly Father. But God does not intimidate people and pressure people. It's your choice whether or not you will serve the Lord and love Him and worship Him. And I tell you, the enemy, though, he is constantly trying to manipulate people and pressure people. With teenagers, what do they call it? Peer pressure. He tries to pressure people into doing things wrong, into doing things his way. He uses fear and intimidation all the time to try to control people. Jesus said, in John 10 and 10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's the work of the devil. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He is looking for someone to destroy. That's who our enemy is. I hope you understand just a little clearer this morning. That's who our enemy is. I've been telling you about his devices. I've been telling you about who he is and who he's not. That's who he is. He's the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy in your life. Your family, your health, your finances, your peace, your joy. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy the purpose of God, the plan of God, the call of God on your life. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. That's our enemy. Now, I don't know about you. I have never seen him. But I've seen his work. I see his work every day. I see his work in the heartache and destruction in people's lives. People that are under a load of oppression, a burden. And we could oversimplify this morning and just say, well, what are the works of the devil? Well, everything bad. That would be an oversimplification. It's true. It's true. But here's the problem with that. We're living in a day, in a generation, when people are confused about what's bad and good, about what's good and evil. And so we need to identify what are the works of the devil. We need to clearly understand what the works of the devil are. Mainstream Christianity today just doesn't have a real understanding what the works of the devil are. There's just a lot of confusion. So what are the works of the devil that Jesus destroyed? Acts 10:38 tells us, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Well, I want to back up to the first part of that verse. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. Does that sound familiar to any Spirit-filled believers in here? I tell you, Jesus promised that we would receive power after that the Holy Spirit came upon us. Listen, child of God, when you receive the Spirit, you have been anointed with power to do the works of Jesus. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Now, the word healing there just simply means, it means heal, cure, make whole. And I want you to understand that, you see, where Satan had hurt people and bound people up, oppressed people, and even destroyed people, Jesus came along and he healed them and he cured them and he made them whole. That's Jesus destroying the works of the devil. He healed all who were oppressed of the devil. Now, there were those that were oppressed by an evil spirit. Now, all of us deal with this. All of us deal with evil spirits. Well, some people aren't. They just don't deal with it. But I'm telling you, you are in a war, whether you know it or not, whether you admit it or not. If you're serving Jesus, you're in a spiritual war. And there are going to be spirits who will try to oppress you, try to set you up for temptation, try to deceive you, try to manipulate you, try to use you. There are some people that get under an oppression. Jesus healed all who were oppressed of the devil. There are some people that are under an oppression of depression. And you know, all of us go through sad times in our life, or tragedies and things happen that are sad, and all of us have had our heart broken. But when somebody gets under an oppression, that's the work of the devil. When there is a heaviness on their spirit all the time. You see, Jesus wants us to have joy. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Joy, listen, it's the joy of the Lord that is our strength. We're supposed to have joy. So when somebody is under this heavy load of depression, that's an oppression of the devil. We need to recognize the works of the devil. That's the work of the devil. When you see somebody that is so anxious and stressed out and upset all the time and they have no peace, I'm telling you, that's an oppression from the enemy. For the child of God especially, all right, we'll just put it that way, but really for everybody. When somebody is all stressed out and fearful, you see, the devil is using that to oppress them. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He came to give us peace. A peace that passes understanding. That's what's available to the believer when we pray. Jesus wants us to have peace. But so many people are just under this oppression. And please don't be offended at me, but I want to help you this morning. When people are having to take all kinds of pills just so they can relax, there's an oppression. There's a work of the enemy that's arrayed against them in their life. Jesus came to heal all who were oppressed of the devil. And I tell you, we need to acknowledge, we need to realize. See, we can't destroy the works of the devil if we don't even know what they are. And there seems to be a lot of confusion about this. When people are full of anxiety and fears, see, fear has torment. That's what the Bible says. And Satan will torment you with fears and worry about tomorrow, all kinds of fears. But he uses that to oppress people. That's the work of the devil. A lot of people are oppressed by the devil and end up bound by some addiction or sin. Now, we are all drawn away by our own desires, the desires of our flesh, but we need to realize that the devil is the master of temptation. And I've already talked about this a little bit, but he uses that deception with temptation to get people into sin. And you know what happens so often is it starts off with just one little sin and then another and another, and before long it becomes a habit and an addiction that brings destruction in their life. Listen to this from Ephesians 2, 1 through 3. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, listen, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, just as others. But I want you to notice there, he says, we once all conducted ourselves in this lust of the flesh. But notice the beginning of that, he says, among whom also we all. Now, go back to the verse before. He says, there's a spirit, that prince of the power of the air, Satan himself, the forces of darkness, that spirit is at work in the children of disobedience. Now, that doesn't mean that every time that you messed up or you disobeyed God in some way, that you've got a devil and you need to come to church so we can cast it out of you. I don't know how people get that crazy kind of theology. Listen, the devil and the Holy Spirit can't live in the same house. It doesn't work, all right? But when someone is living in disobedience, living in unrepented of sin, I'm telling you that the devil is at work. Now, certainly, their flesh is involved. And we read it right there, that it is their own desire, their own flesh is a part of that. But there's a spirit that's at work in the children of disobedience. And you know what? When we see sin in our world and we see the heartache and the destruction of the sin of man. Now, listen, man is responsible for his sin. But you need to know this, that the devil is at work in it. That he influences and inspires and uses it. He is that spirit that's at work in the children of disobedience. And you know, about 40 years ago, there was a comedy on TV called Rowan and Martin Laughing. How many of you remember that? How many of you refuse to admit that you're that old? Come on. I don't know what the deal is. Most of you that raised your hand just kind of went like that, like you're embarrassed that you watched it. You know, well, just that was before you really got right with God, right? Anyway, Rowan and Martin laughing. There was a character on there. And if I'm not mistaken, I think I got this confirmed after the first service. It was actually a man dressed up like a woman. But this character would always say, "The devil made me do it." And it was really funny just to blame the devil. You know, the devil made me do it. And you know, I think a lot of people would like to get away with that today. I mean, if we could just blame the devil for everything we do wrong. No, God holds us responsible. Each one of us has a free will, and we are all accountable to God for what we've done in this body. And there is a day that we will answer. The Bible says that we'll answer for what we've done in this body. But we also need to see and understand that there is an enemy of our soul who is at work behind the scenes and that uses people. He uses people. You know, we've all seen horrendous sins or horrendous acts of violence and things in our society. And I don't know about you, but a lot of the time I just go, how could anybody be so wicked? How could anybody be so evil and depraved to do such a horrible thing? I'm telling you, it is satanic influence. Sometimes I think it's just demon possession, but it is at least satanic influence for someone to be so depraved. You know, just on a little bit closer to home note, it's amazing how many people today think nothing of stealing from a church. In fact, they see a church as an easy target. And there are predators and charlatans in our world today that think of churches as easy prey. Amazing. The demonic influence in their life. We need to remember that the devil is not our true enemy, even though we see, or excuse me, I just said that backwards, didn't I? We need to remember that person is not our true enemy, even though we see that person being used, it's the devil that's our true enemy. Yeah. Amen. And you know what? When we see those sinful people, now I want you to hear me now, we need to love them. God does. Amen. He died for all of us sinners to be reconciled to God. Amen. And God loves them. So we need to remember when we see that sinful person that they're not our true enemy. It is Satan himself that is our true enemy. Another work of the devil is sickness and disease. Now, if you have your Bible, I want you to turn over to Luke chapter 13. We're going to read verses 10 through 17. But while you're turning there, I just want to encourage you about some things. We need to see sickness as a part of the work of the devil. The Bible tells us very plainly that Jesus went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And we see it over and over and over again in the Gospels. Now, what did John tell us that Jesus did? First John says that Jesus came, he was revealed to destroy the works of the devil. And then we see all through the Gospels, Jesus was healing people. What's he doing? He's destroying the works of the devil. Yes. Now, I understand that sickness is part of the curse. I also understand that Jesus has delivered us from the curse of the law. Yes. And here we are. And this generation of Christians, so many are confused about whether or not sickness and disease is a work of the devil. Confused about whether or not God wants to heal people. What did Jesus do? Jesus came to show us the Father. And what did he do? He walked this earth healing people. Most places he went, it says he healed them all. He healed people. He didn't say, "Now, how long have you been in church? Let me see your do list, you know, how good you are." No. He just healed people on the basis of their faith. If they believed, they received. It was as simple as that. Some people get real confused about this. They say, well now, you know, while Jesus walked the earth, and then while those apostles that were with him, while they lived, God healed people. Well, in the first place, the apostle Paul wasn't with Jesus. I'm talking about the man Jesus who walked this earth. The apostle Paul wasn't with him. He had a spiritual experience with the Lord Jesus, much like you and I do. And he saw miracles of healing in his ministry. But you know, it's amazing to me how people miss this. God didn't just heal for 100 years. He had already been healing for thousands of years. All the way through the Old Testament, beginning in the book of Genesis, God has been healing people. And he himself declared, I am the Lord who heals you. And he calls himself Jehovah Rapha, the Lord your healer. All for thousands of years, he healed people. David said, he heals all my diseases. Thousands of years he healed people, and then we come to our generation and say, oh, the Lord doesn't do that anymore. Read the whole Bible. I tell you what, I said it earlier, but some people just need a Bible about that thick. They got about 200 verses they believe, and they don't believe any of the rest of it. How sad. I'll tell you, we're destroyed for the lack of knowledge. But this, when sickness and disease comes on us, the last thing that people need to be confused about is whether or not this is of God. Now, I realize you can find, I've read them myself. There are some psalms, there are some places, one place where the psalmist says, oh, well, you know, until I was afflicted, I didn't do right. But once I was afflicted, I got my act together. And I know that for some people, you know, when disaster comes in their life, they get their act together. I acknowledge that. All right? I mean, you know, they don't ever spend any time with God until they're flat on their back and can't do anything else. Well, no, nowadays you just turn the TV on. But anyway, for some people, I understand that there may be times when until we're afflicted, we just keep going the wrong way. But that doesn't mean that God brought it on you and that God made you sick. I'm telling you, Jesus came. Where in the New Testament, under Jesus' ministry, do you ever find this where Jesus made somebody sick? No, he went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And we need to realize that if Jesus is destroying the works of the devil, what is he doing? He's healing people. He's destroying the works of the devil. Now listen, Luke chapter 13, beginning with verse 10. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. Now, I just have to stop here. For 18 years, this woman was bent over. I dare any of you to bend over for 18 minutes and stay there. You won't like it. Can you imagine 18 years? Not 18 hours, not 18 days, 18 years. How the devil had oppressed this woman. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and he said, oh, can't you just see the compassion, the love of Jesus? He sees this woman. He calls her. He says, woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. He laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And he said to the crowd, there are 6 days on which men ought to work. Therefore, come and be healed on them and not on the Sabbath day. It is amazing how stupid religious people can be. The Lord then answered him and said, hypocrite! Jesus was always merciful and kind and gentle, meek with the sinner, with the sick who were needy. But to the religious man who thought that he needed no physician, Jesus used strong language and words. He said, hypocrite. Does not each of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his donkey from the stall and lead it away to water, so ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound. In the New King James it says, think of it. Whom Satan has bound, think of it. For 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath. Now, this woman had a spirit of infirmity. Jesus said she was bound by Satan for 18 years. And I want you to understand that every time that somebody is sick, dealing with illness, that doesn't mean that they're bound by a spirit. But we do need to realize that God wants to heal people. That He destroys the work of the devil because He healed all those who were oppressed of the devil. It's important for us to recognize the works of the devil. If we don't know for sure what his works are, then how are we going to destroy them? Jesus went about doing good. You know, one of the things that Jesus did is he ministered to the physical needs of people. The Bible says that he became poor that we might be made rich. And I realize that's talking about much more than just material needs. But Jesus, listen, when Jesus saw people that were hungry, you know what he did? He fed them. He fed the 5,000. He fed the 4,000. Jesus cared about the needs of people. Went about doing good. The Lord doesn't want His people to suffer lack. And when the oppression of poverty comes on people, where people are suffering, we need to recognize that is the work of the devil. Now listen to me. When people are suffering and don't even have the basic needs met, I tell you, that is the oppression, that is the work of the devil. There are many places in the world, especially third world countries, but even right here in the United States, there are even places in the Metroplex that you can go and the oppression of poverty is so strong you can feel it. People just in utter despair and basic human needs not being met, it is the work of the devil. Now you can say, well, they ought to do this and they ought to do that. However it happened, I'm telling you, it is an oppression. It is the work of the devil. God wants people's needs to be met. Listen, David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. My God supplies all my need according to His riches in glory. He declares Himself to be Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Listen, God wants our needs to be met. So when we see people who are under this spirit of poverty and this oppression, that's the work of the devil. And you need to identify it. You need to recognize that's the work of the devil. Don't just accept that as the way it is. No, it's the work of the devil. I pastored in a small town in Oklahoma where it was such a different culture and a different mindset. And just some really wonderful, sweet people there that I pastored. But in that town, there was such an oppression of a poverty spirit. And they didn't recognize it. They didn't know it. They thought that's just the way it was. And you know, that's usually the way it is when somebody's under that poverty spirit. They don't even realize that they don't have to put up with that. They don't even realize that God wants to take care of their need and supply all their needs according to His riches and glory. Listen, let me tell you something. If your basic needs aren't being met, there's no way you're going to have to bless somebody else. And God wants us to be a blessing. So that old poverty spirit, listen, that's not from God. Well, just believe the Lord wants me to be sick and poor. That's not from God. You need to know what the works of the devil are and what the works of God are. You read the Bible from cover to cover, you will see that God is good. He declares Himself to be good. And He wants you to be blessed. He wants to meet your needs. He wants you to have some left over to bless somebody else. He doesn't want you sick and all beat down. And that's oppression. Jesus came to heal all who were oppressed of the devil. Another way that people are oppressed. You know, when Jesus came, you see this so clearly in the scripture that people are oppressed by the religion of the day. they were oppressed by this religion of works, of constantly trying and striving to live up to this standard, rules and regulations and traditions of men, and nobody could do it. It was this heavy burden on people that kept people, now listen to me, that kept people from a relationship with God. And it's not about rules and regulations. It is about a relationship with God. Jesus came. Here's another way that it's put in Scripture why He came. He came to reconcile us to God. Yes. Jesus destroyed the work of the devil. You see, the devil uses religion not to get men to God. The devil uses it to keep people from God. Yes. And I tell you, some of those same attitudes, those same old religious spirits are still at work today. Try to keep people from God. You know, there's that, all that works and rules and regulations, but then there's also that, those accusations, the critical spirit, the judgmental attitudes. And you see that like when the religious people brought the woman caught in adultery to Jesus. Now, she's just a pawn in their game. Because what they really want is to catch Jesus in a mistake. But this was not out of the norm for them to condemn and judge someone like this woman. Jesus bends down and writes on the ground, and then he stands up and he says, "You who is without sin, be the first to cast a stone." And they all went away. Jesus tells the woman, "Where are your accusers?" You see, that old religious spirit is always accusing. Y'all heard of the horse whisperer? Boy, that's a neat, you know, boy, isn't that a neat story? Well, I want to tell you one that ain't so neat. The church whisperer. The whisperer separateth close friends. That's what the Bible says. That accusing voice that's always behind the scenes, making judgmental comments about people. That's the work of the devil. We need to identify it for what it is. Because until we do, we'll accept it and put up with it. Who's the devil using to do that? It's somebody else. Not me, right? Come on now. We all say it's not me, it's somebody else. Don't be a tool of the devil. That old religious spirit always wants to condemn and put people down and keep people from a real relationship with God. Jesus came to destroy that and reconcile people to God. Amen. Listen, the Bible says that He's not counting our sins against us. What amazing grace. But we see the work of the devil when we see stealing, killing, and destruction, because the thief came to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his work. He uses sinful man to carry it out, and people don't realize that they're doing the devil's work. Sometimes they even think that they're doing God's work while they do it. Talk about deceived. Second Corinthians 4:4 in the NIV says this: "The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the glory of Christ, the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." See, when we see people that are blind to the truth, I mean, if you're talking to somebody that just can't get it, I mean, they don't, you know, they're an atheist, they don't believe in God, they don't understand what you're talking about, you must be crazy to believe that stuff. Let me tell you something, the devil is at work there. He has blinded their minds so that they cannot see the light of the gospel. You need to realize this. You see, we encounter these people and we think, well, you know, they're just so hard unbeliever, you know. Listen, the devil's at work there. That's the devil's work, and it's our job by the power of the Holy Spirit to show them the truth. Jesus said, "We're the light of the world." Now, I'm not saying that everybody's going to receive it, but I tell you, we're here to destroy the works of the devil. We're going to shine some light on them. Amen? We need to realize that that is the work of the devil. When people are blinded to the truth of the gospel, that's the work of the devil. You know, I alluded to this a minute ago, but when we see strife and envy and division and dissension, that's the work of the devil. The devil is behind that. Listen, James 3, 14 and 15. If you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, the New King James says, self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. It's demonic. Now, think about this. When we allow fighting and bickering and division in our homes, in our workplace, in our relationships, in the church, it's the work of the devil. That's the way the devil works. God doesn't work that way. He works through authority. He works through peace. He works through truth. He works through love and unity. I'm preaching good right now. And when you see, listen, when you have strife in your home and dissension in your home, that's the work of the devil. Now, as long as you don't identify it as such, you're going to put up with it. But I'm telling you, we'll destroy the works of the devil when we start recognizing the work of the devil. The Bible said it's demonic. That's enough for me. It is, listen, it is certainly a demonic influence. Every time people get in strife and conflict and fighting and all that, let me tell you something. The powers of darkness are standing by, prodding and goading. Now, the Bible says only by pride cometh contention. In other words, if you get rid of all your pride, you're not going to have contention. But I'm telling you, the enemy is always there prodding and goading that pride, saying, you're right and they're wrong. Well, you don't have to take that. You're not their doormat. Just go ahead and let them have it. Come on now. You see, he's always working. And I'm telling you, the next time that you involve yourself in strife and dissension like that, I hope you hear the forces of darkness laughing in the background. Got real quiet in here. It's demonic. It's the work of the devil. I tell you, we need to be wise and not allow ourselves to get caught up in that and allow the devil to get an advantage of us. We talked about this last week, how the devil gets an advantage of us when we don't handle our anger properly. And so I'm not going to go back and preach that whole thing over again, but I just want you to see that, you see, when that strife and division, dissension starts up, it's the devil getting a foothold in. By the way, the next verse says there's where there's strife and envy, there's every evil work. It just opens the door for all kinds of stuff. So how do we destroy the works of the devil? I tell you, the first thing we need to do is we got to put a stop to it in our own life. Don't allow the devil to work in or through you. Don't allow him to bring his garbage into your life. Well, one of the ways we do that is by our own disobedience. Listen to this from 1 John 3, 8, and 9. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to 1 John because we're going to read several verses here. We're going to read the whole verse 8 this time. He who sins is of the devil. Oh my. Now, that doesn't mean that every time you slip up that you're of the devil. Say thank God. Because otherwise all of us would be of the devil. Uh-huh. Because there's not one of us that doesn't ever mess up. No, he who sins is of the devil. The Bible is talking about those who live in sin, those who live in disobedience and refuse to submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And whoever has been born of God does not sin. In other words, if you're born of God, you're not going to just live in sin. No, because the Holy Spirit, you have a new nature. And that new nature, the Holy Spirit inside of you, is not going to allow you to just stay in sin. He's going to keep convicting you. Whoever is born of God does not sin, for his seed, God's seed, remains in him. And he cannot sin. He cannot continue on in sin because he has been born of God. And I want to tell you, the first thing we need to do, once we recognize the works of the devil, we need to make sure we're not allowing the devil to operate in us. That we're not allowing the devil to bring any of his garbage into our life. That we're not opening the door and giving him a foothold. Just for fun, I want to share this with you real quick. It's called Satan's Beatitudes, and I found this a few years ago. But it says, blessed are those who are too tired, too busy, too distracted to spend an hour once a week with their fellow Christians in church. They are my best workers. Blessed are those who wait to be asked and expect to be thanked. I can use them in my business. Blessed are those who are touchy. Soon they'll stop going to church. Verily, they shall be my missionaries. Blessed are those who sow trouble and strife. They are my beloved children. Blessed are those who have no time to pray, for they are my prey. Blessed are those who gossip, for they are my secret agents. Blessed are you when you read this and think it has everything to do with other people and nothing to do with you. I've got room for you at my inn. Don't be a tool of the devil. Next, we need to realize that we have been duly commissioned to destroy the works of the devil and empowered, anointed by the Holy Spirit to do the works of Jesus. I quoted it to you earlier. We read it. Jesus said, if we believe in Him, the works He did shall we do also. Matthew 10 and verse 8, Jesus says to the disciples, He says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you've received, now freely give. And I'm telling you, we have been commissioned along with them that we also are to go out and destroy the works of the devil by ministering and meeting the needs of people. Mark 16. We'll begin with verse 17. And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. You see, as we minister to people, as we share the gospel, the truth of the Word of God, and as we meet the needs of people, I tell you, we're destroying the works of the devil. Whatever those needs are, if you see sick people and you pray for them, you're destroying the work of the devil. You see somebody that's demon-possessed. I realize that in our culture, we at least think we don't encounter that very often, not on a level that we recognize at least most of the time. But just say that you do. If you encountered a demon-possessed person, you know what most of us would do? We'd say, what's the matter with them? Even if we recognized they were demon-possessed, we'd say, ooh, they're demon-possessed. You know what Jesus did? He cast it out. You see, when Jesus saw a demon-possessed person, He was moved with compassion. He wanted to help. He wanted that person to be free. He destroyed the works of the devil. When you see sick people, we need to see them free from that sickness. You see people that are bound up by some habit and some sin and it's destroying their life. Don't stand in judgment of them and say, well, look what they're doing to their life. They're ruining their life. How stupid are they? That sounds just like the Pharisees that Jesus dealt with. No, instead, we need to see that those people are under the oppression of the devil, that he's got an advantage of them. He's destroying their life. Jesus came to heal all who were oppressed of the devil. And so we need to see that that's what we're called to. And this last point I want to make, how do you destroy the works of the devil? I tell you, it is by the love of God. Because when we really love people and we see the oppression of the devil, we recognize the works of the devil, then we will be moved with compassion. Because of the love of God in us, we'll destroy the works of the devil. Well, we're going to read on in 1 John there from verse 10. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. John just lays it out here, all right? He says, whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one. Cain was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. Why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brothers were righteous. But I want you to back up there. He said, we are to love one another. That has been Jesus' message from the beginning. It was that we should love one another. And I tell you, church, if we'll just love people, you see, that love never fails. If we'll just love people, we'll see people set free. We'll destroy the works of the devil. See, if we love people, we'll put aside our religious prejudice, our religious ideas and all that junk and just minister to the needs of people, see people set free. Amen. If we'll just love people. Amen.